Blog Talk Radio.
People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
Yes, we are speaking to you from another planet. It's not the seventh one either, I'll tell you. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show here along with
5 seconds behind. I am Dave Binkley from a weirdest really bad movie and the Spaceship One program. And you know, Dale, I hear that those aliens are so far ahead of us, they're working on Corona 23.
What, would they have like a
COVID,
case 24
COVID,
coronas
COVID.
And you no,
COVID 23, I'm sorry.
COVID 23. Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you give the punchline wrong, it kind of does take away from it. Yeah.
And I messed it up further. Good evening and welcome. Hey, Fogsbane in the chat joining us here. For more on aliens, or is it more on aliens? No, they're pretty smart, actually. And a fun one, another CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And I'm glad you said a fun one, Dale, because this is indeed one of the fun ones. This one, although serious, has a lot of pathos in it. And there's some things in here that are just downright funny once we get into the where he's trying to help them out. But getting to that point, and at the end it's not, but during three quarters of the thing, there's a lot of pathos in this thing. And I just, I've always enjoyed it. And just a lot of, I think it's a lot of fun and a really fine story again tonight from Hyman Brown and the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep. And as always, CBS Radio Mystery Theater fits so well on Saturdays here. Gives us time to maybe even share a few other things. In fact, what's the title of this one tonight, Dave?
The Man from Ultra.
Man from Ultra. All together now.
Wrong Ultraman. And you're wrong twice here, Dale. I mean, in the first place, that is the wrong. This is the Man from Ultra, not Ultraman, okay? There is a difference there. They may be cousins, but there is a difference there. And secondly, if anybody can sing the words from that song, they are not all together to begin with, so.
That's right. Oh, come on, man. Remember running home from school to see Ultraman?
We talked
about that off in the after party last night. You can go.
We did. Yeah.
Dig that up. It's car was on fire all night long, even in the after party.
Yep. before the caffeine was wearing down, he was still going strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my! But yeah, because you and I would run. I was in Buffalo. You were here in the Cleveland area. And but my trifecta was different. You had Johnny Sacco. I did not have Johnny Sacco. I had Ultraman and Astro Boy and Speed Racer.
Well, that's a good setup there.
Yeah. That's a great afternoon. I mean, if you got to sit in school all day, you know, it's something now going back to that era, Dale, when I was in school, when we were in school.
Yeah.
It took like 75 minutes to get from 3:35 to 3:45 in the afternoon. How
yeah.
come every time I turn around, it's another month?
Time do fly as you get older, don't it? Don't it?
It do.
Speak of the devil.
I blame toilet paper.
Hey!
I had an epiphany. It goes like this. The reason why it's 2020 and we don't have flying cars like the Jetsons is because the entire world is stuck in remedial hand washing class.
Very good.
Yes. Be sure that be sure to use that on your show tonight, Gar. It'll be worth a laugh there.
I would call that observational humor.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know why you don't have flying cars? I'll tell you. You can't blow your nose and wash your hands. That's why.
In 1969, we put a man on the moon. And now, today, 2020, you have to put warning labels on bottles that are clearly marked poison.
Right.
or a sticker that increases the price of a lighter by about 75 cents with a bunch of language which when condensed, says fire hot.
Fire hot.
When you have to have a poster in a restroom bathroom that says, please wash your hands before returning to work. They don't put that there for the employees. They put that there for us.
Yeah, you know what? I get offended by that. I get truly offended by that. It says employees must wash hands. I can wash my hands by myself. I don't need an employee to wash my hands unless she's really cute.
Well,
she's really cute. Yeah.
Yes.
Start with the hands
like
and
fire hot. You make it boo-boo.
Yes.
Yeah. Too many signs.
Signs. Everywhere a sign. Yep.
Yeah.
Blocking up the scenery. Breaking my line. Yep.
They knew what was going on in the 60s.
They did.
But did they wash their hands? That's the question of the day.
Well, apparently they didn't teach their offspring how to do it. Hello.
Yeah.
Are we on the air?
Yeah,
I blame it
are.
To a lack of nuns. We need to bring back the nuns. That'll straighten out everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, I had my deal with the nuns. They they need to stay sequestered somewhere. them and their steel rulers.
Yes, they need to be like the...
Johnny doesn't wash his hands. His fingers are broken, you know. Like that.
That's right.
Yeah, that
Mary
means,
Bloody
that means,
Knuckles, you got it, Fogsbane.
Oh, my.
There were people, when I had my DJ service, there were these guys that were regulars that later on, after, you know, I quit doing that for a living and working at that bar, they went on to form a band called Nun Fist. And like one guy's dressed up like a priest, one guy's dressed up like a nun, waving a big yardstick around. The drummer has a Satan head mask, and it's hilarious. And they're like a hard metal band. It's hilarious, and they're actually pretty good.
I'm gonna hope that this gets by the censors. It's not horrible, but there's a band, an all
Hold on,
female.
Folks.
Metal band by the name of Thunder Pussy. And they're a really good band. And I actually am going to maybe feature them tonight on the program.
Oh, okay.
Alrighty.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of different weird names for bands, but
yeah.
I'm not repeating that again.
The mind boggles.
I'm like, seriously?
What that means.
It's pretty like, bad.
I'm hearing the thunder clapping. I don't know what's going on.
It's pretty bad when you play their music but not say their name.
Yes.
Yeah, well, no, I'll say their name once or twice on the program.
Yeah.
I'll have to get an echo, so thunder, you know.
I might just be able to downplay it, right?
Right. Well, everybody should cloistered at home, you know. You don't want to give them too many ideas. Don't play with lighters, children.
That's right.
You'll
be doing horrible horror later tonight at 8 o'clock, yeah?
I am applying makeup as I speak. I'm turning into the visual guard. You hear the audible guard.
I don't want to hear about makeup, man. You're blowing the illusion.
Well,
this is what you really look like.
I just need a touch-up, that's all. Okay. I'm going to Earl Schaub's auto body just to get a touch-up.
Earl Schaub, oh, God.
$49.95.
Yeah. Leave the windows open. He'll paint your little brother in the back seat. That's all good.
That's right. He'll paint your whole face. Come on down.
Yeah, they did not skimp on the paint, that's for sure. But,
it was probably filled with lead. Who knows?
it had to be in Ohio. Well, I'm sure Buffalo was the same with all
leaded
the
exterior
snow
house paint.
Salt.
In a sprayer. Come on down to Earl Schaub. We'll take care of you.
Those cars used to rot fast. They used to call it car cancer. They'd get they would rust out real bad by the.
Yeah.
Oh, those
because
were
of what the water from the lakes or what?
Well,
the
salt that they used to melt the snow.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen snow. I was in a place only 2 weeks ago where a week prior to being there they had snow, and I get there and there's like. Not flake one. Nothing.
I went there. I was the only flake there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
All right. Well, let's get started with
I'm sure you've got a whole
radio
lot of radio
theater.
There.
Well, we have a bit. As we indulge in part one, do we have an original broadcast date?
If we do.
1621.
Close.
Columbus was king.
this is episode number 578. Very close. Very close. January 6th, 1977.
I tell you, centuries.
And played on.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents. I'm E.G. Marshall. I'm going to take you into a wonderful country where space and time and imagination are mixed up in a strange goulash, spiced with madness. You don't have to guess where this delightful land is, I'll tell you. It's in you. It's in everybody. It's the world of fantasy. This is a story about a man whose wild fantasies became real with the help of a witch doctor.
Private Hale?
Yes, sir. Jeffrey Hale, PFC, 11009988.
You are the last, our final hope.
Last what, sir?
The last man who can save Western civilization. You alone can lead us to victory.
Me, sir? I'm just a common soldier, Mr. President. Jeffrey Hale, PFC, 11009988.
Not anymore. You're now a 9-star general. I appoint you.
Me, a general?
The day you defeat the aliens... Tomorrow, the world.
Hey, wow, this is my big dream.
It's come true at last.
Mm-hmm. horror fantasy, The Man from Ultra, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Alfred Bester and stars Court Benson and Robert Burr. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Exlax. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Mr. Solon Aquila is a mystery man who is seen everywhere and understood nowhere. You run across him at first nights, in posh restaurants, playing squash, fishing for salmon, bidding extravagantly at auctions, buying comic books. He speaks a lunatic mishmash of languages. He's rich. He's lucky. Everything seems to go exactly right for him. But today, something went very wrong for Solon Aquila when he bustled into the art gallery of Mr. James Graham. And what he did about it makes a strange story.
Bonsoir, Jimmy. Here is a cool day for color, yes? Cool. I'm fluent in slang, ancient and modern. I desire to buy a picture.
Good morning, Mr. Aquila.
Aquila from the Latin. Means eagle.
Yes, Mr. Aquila.
I'm in the mood to collect your man, what's his name, your prize, your greatest. Artists like Bosch. I already own 3 paintings.
I think you mean Geoffrey Hale.
Ah, what a memory. Exactly the artist I collect.
I wouldn't have believed it. You know, it's extremely odd you're coming in at this moment.
Odd? I always come in at the right moment. I'm born lucky.
A Geoffrey Hale monochrome arrived just 5 minutes ago in the morning mail.
Bravo! You see, I am lucky.
I'd rather not show it to you, Mr. Aquila. It can't be sold.
Why not?
I can't say, sir.
Must I judo your arm, Jimmy? You can't show, you can't sell, you can't say why. Geoffrey Hale, my favorite artist, show me the Hale masterpiece.
All right, Mr. Aquila. This way, please. I have it hidden in this break front. Came in this envelope from the Babylon Clinic.
Babylon? What is that? Den of iniquity?
I'll explain later. First, see what was sent.
Well, this is no work of art. It's merely coin of the realm, a dollar bill.
Turn it over, sir. Look at the face.
So, I turn the bill over and...
You see, sir?
This is not a portrait of George Washington.
No, sir.
It is a picture of myself, Solon Aquila.
Yes. Geoffrey Hale drew it on the dollar bill.
It's an outrage. It's libel, slander. I look like a fiend in human shape. Dracula, Godzilla, King Kong.
That's why I didn't want you to see it. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Hurt? Well, I must own this work of art. Name your price, but answer me this.
Sir?
Is this accident or on purpose? I've never met your Geoffrey Hale. Does he know me?
I don't know, Mr. Killer.
A mystery, eh? Why does the great Geoffrey Hale draw on money? My picture, why?
He's insane, Mr. Killer.
What? This genius, insane?
It's very sad. They've had to institutionalize him in the Babylon Clinic. He spends his time drawing these pictures of you on money.
Only me?
Only you.
Why does he jump his tracks, Jimmy?
Well, they say it's a withdrawal. He's still a very young man. Immature. His success came too soon. He isn't ready for it, for responsibilities. So he's turned his back on everything and withdrawn into childhood. That's what the doctors say.
And the drawing on money?
They say that's his symbol of childhood. It proves he's too young to know what money is for.
And my portrait?
I can't explain that, Mr. Aquila.
You know something? I'm disappointed. Severely disappointed. No more art from Geoffrey Hale ever? Wait, we must do something about Geoffrey Hale. I will do something. I will save him.
I am drawing, like Cellini. All art is one art. I was born, I am dead. I had peace, I had hope, I had art. And then the faraway fiend came and looked. Get away, I'm not here. There is no Geoffrey Hale, only the dead in here.
It's all right, Jeff. It's only me. You remember me, Jim Graham?
Can I have a dollar?
It's all right, Doctor. I won't upset him. You can leave us alone for a few minutes.
Geoffrey wants a dollar.
Jeff, I've brought some of your old work with me. I thought you might like to look it over with me. It might inspire a few new ideas.
Can I have a dollar?
Baby wants a dollar.
All right, Jeff. I've got one here in the portfolio of your work.
Baby wants a dollar.
Just wait one minute. I've got a special one for you. Here it is.
Nice dollar. Nice.
Jeff, for Pete's sake.
Far away fiend. His face. Look. Look there. And on the dollar. How did he get there? He's after me. Everywhere. How did he get in here?
Jeffrey, listen to me. I'm talking to you. I talk through my picture. You hear me, Jeffrey? I am your friend.
Yes.
I will help you escape from Sodom and Gomorrah Clinic. I put words in your mouth. I put a plan in your head. Ready? Listen. Listen.
You got a watch on you, Graham?
Good Lord, Jeff. Is this you?
Lend it to me for a minute, will you?
Jeff, you... Well, of course. Of course. Here, just let me get it off the chain. Here you are.
Thanks. All right. Go ahead with the picture bit.
Jeff, this is you again, isn't it? The way you were.
30. 35. 40.
Jeff?
45.
Jeff, this is you again, isn't it?
50.
You sounded for a moment like your old 55, self.
55.
You...
1.
Jeff?
105.
I guess I only imagined it.
110.
Well, let's have a look at your work, Jeff. Now, here's one of your earliest. This tempera that gave you so many heartaches, remember?
125.
I was wondering if you'd care to try another. They sell remarkably well.
35.
What do you think, Jeff?
140.
Jeff, for heaven's sake, what 45. Are you doing? Counting minutes?
Sometimes they lock the door and go away. Other times they stay and spy on you from outside. But they never spy longer than a few minutes, so I'm giving them extra time.
Jeff. It's you again. Or is it?
When I was a rough, tough kid on the South Side, they always said that a roll of nickels in your fist gave you a hell of a punch. I think maybe a pocket watch can do the same thing. Excuse me, Mr. Graham. I've got to knock you cold.
Jeff!
Just following instructions. I've got to clobber you. Switch clothes and bust out of here. Excuse me, Mr. Graham. Just following instructions.
They're not going to get me. He promised. He promised I'd get out. And I got out. He promised they wouldn't catch up. Not yet. Yes, turn left here. Third house from the corner, he said. Tenement, he said. Looks deserted. Empty, he said. Here, this is it. Top floor, he said. He told me. Whoever he was. Top floor.
Ah, Mr. Jeffrey Hale, welcome. On the dot. Enter. I've been waiting for you.
The faraway fiend. The faraway fiend.
No, my friend. Forgive the hand of yours truly over the mouth of a great artist. Enter my chamber of horrors. Pardon if I drag you bodily. So, presto changeo. Exit, Jeffrey Hale, from pursuit. Will you continue screaming if I release my hand? Well, I'll try. Stronger measures required. Here. Sniff this. Better, eh? Bravo. Well, sit, my beauty. First, drink this. Warranted non-habit forming.
What's happened? There's like a fever or something behind me. Nightmares. I know you. I know you from somewhere. I know your face.
Oh, indeed you do.
Ozart's ball. A long time ago.
Ah, yes. It was 1/2 year ago. I was there, an unfortunate night.
No, glorious night. Happy. Fun. Like a school dance. Like a prom in costume.
Always back in the childhood, eh? Well, we must attend to that.
I was with Judy.
We realized we were in love that night. Everything was going to be wonderful. And then you passed and looked at me. Just once you looked, it was horrible.
Now I remember. I was unguarded.
You wore red and black, like Satan, the faraway fiend.
We must bring you back to the land of the living. That is why I have arranged this meeting. Come into the laboratory. Sit on that stool, Mr. Hale.
You're a doctor?
No, let us say a warlock. Strictly speaking, a witch pathologist. Strictly modern magic.
You're a witch doctor? You have to be putting me on.
Oh, yes, I am. But in a way you don't expect. I am going to help you grow up.
How?
Your trouble is loss of sanity in flight from reality, brought on by one unguarded look from me. I apologize for that. But you should be fighting for the peace of maturity, not the fantasies of the child.
No, youth is the dream. Youth is the blessing.
For some, yes, but not for you. We must dispel your fantasies with witchcraft psychiatry. We will wipe your slate clean at a very small price.
What price?
Ah, you'll see when we're finished. Now, are you ready? We begin the purge of your dreams. Chameron, Metrus, Casmiel, Hera, Sadirno, Lucifer.
Jeffrey Hale sits helpless in the magic pentacle while the liquids and powers which Solon Aquila has placed around him burst into flame and drug him with their overpowering fumes. The black music roars in his ears. He loses all sense of space and time while this world slips away from him and he is cast headlong into another, wondering where he will land. Act Two will tell us in just a few moments.
An interesting story, to say the least, as this fella seems to be slipping into madness or something.
Or coming out of madness, because remember, he was in the good old Sodom and Gomorrah Sanitarium. What a name. What a name.
Yep. Yeah, Linda Lou joined in, and hi, Vorpal Bite, for coming in and into the chat to join us here. For CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
They really spun the dial on that name of that sanitarium too, Dave, I tell you.
They did, didn't they?
Let's see, what can we call it? Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back.
I found a notice online from my one of my writing friends. Says, valued customers, this is a sign that's up in the store. Due to recent outbreak of stupidity and panic purchasing by complete idiots, the nation is currently experiencing a shortage of toilet paper and common sense. We expect supplies to be replenished once these sheep-minded morons have all starved to death in their houses surrounded by toilet paper, but without anything to eat. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. No, I can see if we all got some bad water, yeah, you'd want a lot of toilet paper.
Yes, yes.
That's why you're like, you sick. You're not even going to feel like eating.
Water? You don't drink that stuff, do you?
And tonight, CBS Radio Mystery Theater is brought to you by X-Lax.
Perfect.
I was
actually,
like, really?
Yeah. I don't laugh. They, as Gar knows, that was one of their sponsors back in the day. Yeah, like, it was.
That's some bad timing right there.
Yeah. No, I think we need a new sponsor.
Yeah. If everyone's buying all this toilet paper, next I'm guessing a run on, like, decoupage glue or something so everybody can get crafty.
Or snip it. The glue, that is.
Decoupage glue. Yep. add layers and layers to your toilet paper sculpture?
One never knows.
One never knows. No, an interesting story. An interesting story going on here. This particular story was written by Alfred Bester. He wrote seven stories of the Radio Mystery Theater, but best known as a science fiction writer. He, early in Bester's career, he won a sci-fi short story competition that his friend Robert Heinlein declined to enter. Heinlein instead sold his story for another magazine for $70, but the prize was only $50. So, you know, there you go.
Heinlein, it was crazy the amount of work that guy sold. And he would sit there and he'd go, okay, here you go. I've got this story. So I'm going to take it to the highest paid publisher I know and see what he says. And then he would just farm it out, you know, going from, you know, 50, 40, 30, 20, you know, till, you know, until it could, it would get, he said, some of these, they're just going to go right to the rags, you know. He farmed his work out, like just went out there and he was a real salesman of himself. And I guess you had to be back in the day.
Yeah.
But he had, let's see here, the age of 25, after he finished college, he was public relations. When he turned to writing science fiction, Bester's first published story was The Broken Axiom, which appeared in the April 1939 issue of Thrilling Wonder Stories. How do you like that?
Mm.
And then that's when he, after he won an amateur story competition, Bester recalled the two editors of the staff, Mort Wessinger and Jack Schiff, took an interest in me, I suspect because I just finished a reading and annotating Joyce's Ulysses and would preach it enthusiastically without provocation to their great amusement. So there you go. Just a little bit on him. We can get into him some more later. But, yeah. He actually, a quick peek here. In 42, two of his science fiction editors got to work at DC Comics and invited Bester to contribute to various DC titles. Consequently, Bester left the field of short story writing and began working in DC Comics as writer on Superman. And under the editorship of Julius Schwartz, Green Lantern, among other titles. He created the supervillain Solomon Grundy and the version of the Green Lantern Oath that begins, "In the brightest day, in the blackest night." So there you go.
Good.
And Jim was reprinted. It was reprinted one time in the oft-maligned magazine called Don't Leave Your Mother at Jellystone.
Okay.
Okay.
It's because Yogi Bear is waiting here to take
Good luck finding it, troopers.
Yeah. But get on with...
You can't leave your mother there, but you can't leave your mother there because, you know, Yogi Bear is going to steal her picnic-type basket.
Hey, boo-boo, do you see that lost mother over there?
I'm going to take her picnic basket.
I tell you what.
Picnic tight basket, yeah.
Pickety basket, that's it.
Anywho, back to the man from Ultra. CBS Radio Mystery Theater, part two and stuff.
Honestly now, don't we all share the same childish fantasies with each other and with the young artist, Jeffrey Hale? We keep them a secret. We're ashamed to never confess them to anyone. We imagine they're unique. They're not, you know. The mysterious Solon Akila, ultra-modern witch doctor, is sending Jeffrey Hale into his hidden fantasy world to live out his dreams. How many of them are yours and mine?
Mr. Hale.
I'm Jeffrey Hale. Who are you?
I am president of World Medical Association. Where have you been, my friend? Do you know what's happened?
No, what's happened?
After your escape from the sanatorium, bango, atom bombs everywhere. The two-hour war is over. The plague is here.
plague? What plague?
Nuclear fission has turned urticaria into a deadly disease that is spreading all over the world.
What's urticaria?
Hives.
Hives? Only kids get that.
Oh, don't you believe it. This is radioactive hives. Everybody is swelling up like raspberries and dropping like flies. You are the one man capable of finding a cure. No doubt on account of a mysterious mutant strain in your makeup, which it makes you so different.
Me?
You. It is your responsibility to save the world, or else the human race will disappear forever.
You mean like Louis Pasteur?
Or like Dr. Fleming, or Dr. Salk, or Galileo. Take your pick.
To save the world with a great discovery. This is my big dream.
It has come true.
But you know I'm not a doctor.
You have something more important. You have genius. Anyway, you will have an assistant to help. Here she is, the beautiful Dr. Judith Field.
Good morning, Dr. Hale.
Good morning, Dr. Field. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, you are now. You are given 7 honorary degrees of the World Medical Association.
Shall we begin your monumental discovery, Dr. Hale?
H2O.
H2O.
G2SO4.
G2SO4.
Salt.
Salt.
2 drops lighter fluid.
2 drops lighter fluid.
Right. Now, flame the test tube in that tube that burns on top.
The Bunsen burners, Dr. Hale.
The Bunsen burners, Dr. Field.
Yes, Doctor. Do you think this experiment will succeed?
I don't know. This is the 97th, and we seem to be getting nowhere. Sometimes I'm discouraged.
Don't lose your courage, Doctor. You're bound to succeed sooner or later.
But it may be too late. The radioactive hives are spreading everywhere. Older and wiser heads are denouncing me as a quack and a fraud.
We will keep the faith, Doctor.
Call me Jeff.
Thank you. Your experiment's finished.
Let me have the test tube. Thank you.
Well, Doctor, Jeff.
Damn it, another failure.
What is it? Why did you smash the test tube?
Only a cure for the common cold. Useless.
Don't give up, Jeff.
I won't. We'll start again. I must save the world. Sulfur and molasses, 1 teaspoon.
Sulfur and molasses, 1 teaspoon.
Bicarbonate of soda, 1 teaspoon.
Bicarbonate of soda, 1 teaspoon.
2 cc's white vinegar.
2 cc's white vinegar.
Very good. Heat test tube.
Yes, Jeff. This one must succeed.
I don't know. It's our 303rd attempt. Nothing but a long list of failures.
You're tired and worn out. Get some proper rest.
I can't, Dr. Field. I can't.
You need warmth and comfort. Call me Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
Your experiment's finished, Jeff.
Let me have the test tube, Judy.
Well, Jeff. Oh, Jeff, not again.
Yes, again, another failure.
What is it this time?
Only a cure for arthritis. Useless.
Don't be discouraged, Jeff.
2 cc red ink.
2 cc red ink.
2 cc black ink.
2 cc black ink.
3 drops liquid detergent.
3 drops liquid detergent.
1/2 cup salad dressing.
Good Lord, you don't dare.
I must. I don't care what the risk is. I must for the sake of the world. 1/2 cup salad dressing.
1/2 cup salad dressing?
Heat over low flame.
Heat over low flame.
It must work. It has to work. This is experiment 606, and we're running out of test tubes.
Whatever gave you the idea for this brilliant experiment, Jeff?
Good Lord, what's coming out of the test tube?
It's a monster!
It has 5 arms and 4 mouths and all those eyes. It is a human. What is it, Dr. Hale? Dr. Hale, I heard the explosion. You found the formula. It's attacking Judy. Run, girl, run. I'll stop it. Get away, quick. Monsters in laboratories love to eat beautiful assistants. I got it tied up. Run.
The monster ate it. There he goes down the hatch. All five hatches. And under where he will land.
My name is Hale. Jeff Hale. Big J, the good guys call me. The creeps and goons don't have the guts to call me anything to my face. I run Hale and Storm, private investigators. But my partner, Joe Storm, caught a slug in the gut last Monday. He was getting too close to the organization, and a hitman let him have it. I'm looking for that hitman to balance the books. And I'm looking for a new partner to take his place. Only reference required. Handle a .38 special like it was a piece of your hand. I'm sitting in my crummy office when this .38 special sashays in. Her other dimensions were 26, 34. A real looker and in trouble. But sympathy isn't my line of business.
Mr. Hale?
Yeah?
My name is Judith Field.
Yeah?
I'm in trouble. I need help.
Trouble will cost you $50 a day in expenses.
I have the money, Mr. Hale.
Help comes higher.
Of course.
So spell it.
It's the golden zodiac which Merlin presented to King Arthur and Queen Guinevere. All the signs are worked in rubies and diamonds. It's priceless.
So?
It disappeared for 1,000 years. Last year it was discovered in a ruin in Wales. 3 men were murdered for it. It was smuggled out of England to the States. 4 more men were murdered. I believe it's in this city and I must find it.
You slipped, sister. Who's we?
You're smart, aren't you?
I can spell Mississippi.
And tough.
On account of a mysterious mutant strain in my makeup, which makes me different. So give, who's we?
Your partner, Joe Strom.
He never told me about the job.
He was moonlighting for personal reasons.
Yeah, so?
He must have gotten too close to the Golden Zodiac.
And?
There's another man after it, the head of the organization, Mr. 6x6.
And this 6x6 had Joe wiped?
That's what the grapevine says.
Okay, girlie, you're a deal. And listen, I'm looking for a new partner. If you play your cards right, I may take you.
I think I've already taken you.
I thought that over on my way to see Lieutenant Jim Graham and get the scam on the Golden Zodiac. A goon sniper threw a little lead in my direction, so I knew we weren't playing girls' rules. Mr. 6x6 was playing for keeps. So was I. I had a score to settle with him.
I don't care how many scores you've got to settle, Hale. Not in my precinct. I've told you 100 times.
Take it easy, Lieutenant.
You step over the line once more, I throw the book at you.
Cool it, man. All I want is the scam on this Golden Zodiac.
Oh, you're in on that, are you? Who's your client?
Doll named Field, Judy Field.
Keep away from her, Hale. She's poison.
Like how?
7 men were murdered for that Zodiac.
And?
Every one of them was living with her when they got killed.
All the pieces were falling into place now, so I took myself to the Lavalier Hotel and paid a call on Judy Field, unexpected. She was in a negligee, having lunch at a table before a big window with a view of the lonesome city that gives nothing and takes everything.
Jeff, it's you.
Yeah.
But why didn't you tell me you were coming?
Wanted to surprise you, kid.
Well, I am surprised and delighted.
And ask you a few questions.
Anything, Jeff. Ask me anything.
How come you're eating your salad off a golden plate?
Why, the hotel serves on gold plates. They think it gives this cheap joint class.
Yeah? A gold plate with a Zodiac on it?
Jeff, no, you mustn't think that I...
I know what I'm thinking. Joe Strom found the golden Zodiac for you, and you wasted him to shut his mouth. You didn't know how much he told me, so you gave me the song and dance.
No, Jeff, no.
Sorry, but I'm sending you to the slammer for murder one.
And what will you do with the golden Zodiac, Mr. Hale?
Who are you?
Bonjour, Miss Field. I see you've cleverly disguised the Zodiac as a dinner plate. To answer your question, Mr. Hale, I'm head of the organization. My more intimate friends call me 6x6.
But you're not a fat man, you're a thin man.
6 feet by 6 inches. Now I quietly will take the golden zodiac.
Don't let him, Jeff. It's worth millions.
And 8 lives, counting my partner. The price is too high, babe. It's the slammer for you.
Even for my love.
It will do you no good to bribe, Miss Field. Behind me, you see my 2 reliable hitmen. They're prepared for anything. So now, I take the golden zodiac and... But what is this?
Like you said, the zodiac.
It is not. It is a forgery. 8 murders and an 8,000-mile chase for a counterfeit.
What makes you so sure?
Look at the signs. Instead of Aquarius, it reads Aqueduct. Gemini is Gemini. Aries is Aerial, and so on. I've been duped. You'll pay for this. Both of you. Gentlemen?
No, Mr. 6x6, no. I'll give you my...
In the center ring, our star attraction. The great, the only, the inimitable Jeffrey, the giant. In his death-defying, perilous, dangerous, hell-raising feat, up to now performed only before the crowned heads of Europe, this terrifying performance is classified X horror. Adults only. Jeffrey the Giant, with the assistance of his lovely Judith the Jezebel of circus life, will be shot out of this 30-inch cannon when where he will land, nobody knows.
What were you doing with that trapeze act last night?
Just having a cup of coffee and a quiet talk.
With all 6 of them?
They're nice.
And the lion tamer, and the contortionist, and the tattooed man, they were nice?
Don't be jealous, Jeff.
I was. Not anymore. I'm the star of this show. The great Jeffrey, the giant. Everywhere we play, I've got 100 groupies squalling around me and asking for my autograph. I can have my pick of them.
Don't talk like that, Jeff.
You were a nothing. I picked you off the back of an elephant. Me, the great star.
Get into the cannon. Fight later.
I'm getting... And now you cheat on me. Judy, I don't need you. I'm throwing you back to the elephants.
No.
Yes, I'm a star. I can have any girl in the world. I can have anything I want. I don't need you. You're finished.
Will you get into the cannon?
I'm in.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have silence, please, for this perilous performance?
No. He's been shot up through the tent. What happened?
I don't know. I guess I must have put a double load in the cannon. By mistake.
By mistake, of course. And there he goes into outer space.
Poor Jeffrey Hale. The artist's imagination and the witchcraft of Mr. Solon Aquila have shot him on another trip through space and time... into another world of his fantasy. Which? Where? And how has Solon Aquila gained the strange power to do this to the artist? Act 3 will tell us.
I don't know about this. I don't find that terrifying. That would be fun. He's living out his fantasies of adventure.
Yes. Yeah, no harm yet has come to any sound effect maker or anything. So it's just a fun, interesting story coming along. And like I said, it starts serious, it ends serious, but you have a little bit of a pathos in the middle here.
Now, I think it's the best display of a nervous breakdown we've ever heard.
I like the spoof on Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, yes.
And Dragnet.
Yep. And Dragnet.
At the same time. Yeah. At the same time, yeah.
I was waiting for the Green Hornet to pop in, but no.
Yeah. Why
not? It's going to be hard to replace him at the circus. You know that, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's awful hard to find a guy of his caliber.
Oh! Nice.
Sorry.
I like it. The Pun Society approves.
Dave is our weekly winner of 10 rolls of toilet paper.
Woohoo! You know, I saw one of those claw machines, and it was filled with toilet paper. I can never win in those things. I can never win in those things. I'm telling you. Never win. Now, if we could only have a little fun in the show, you know?
No, that's not going to. No. We'll have none of that now. There'll be no
you
fun
guys better
having.
Be careful. I'm warming up the coffee.
Run, everyone, run for your lives.
Run.
All I can say is it's going to be a heck of a show on Horrible Horror with starring Gar the Ghoul tonight, then.
Yeah. Never leave your mother in Jellystone.
But Yogi.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. Yogi, don't do that.
Hey, boo-boo,
hey,
look at
boo-boo.
The old broad.
Oh.
Hanging around with Mr. Ranger, sir.
It's dangerous when we can imitate our cartoons.
Thank you, Dawes Butler.
Oh, my friend Jimmy Klink had what I used to call cartoon Tourette's. He would randomly, for no reason, just start quoting a cartoon in the middle of a shoot. In the middle of a shoot, he all of a sudden he's Shaggy, you know?
Uh-huh.
Joint?
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Scoob, what do we do now?
I'm having flashbacks.
Oh, some shooby snacks.
But it was so worth it because he was just a fun guy to work with. Fun guy to work with. So are you guys.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And this is
well,
kind of a fun
we all, we're only here because we're getting paid in toilet paper.
Yes.
Yeah, but you keep sending me the used stuff.
Well, those cardboard rolls, those are seeds. That's what those are.
Oh, okay.
Go plant one. You'll get a toilet paper tree in no time.
Here's the text conversation between Mrs. K and my son. Can you spare – he said he was going to Costco. He said, can you spare us a square of toilet paper?
One square?
Yes, a square, yes, just a square. And he said yes, and I told her to write to him, tell him it as long as it's 2-ply. His response was, anything less is against the Geneva Convention.
Why do they have it in my workplace?
Less. What, 1-ply?
Yeah.
They consider themselves outside of Geneva, that's why.
Be glad it's not sandpaper. Even though the consistency is probably similar.
Does anybody ever buy, if you could, single ply for yourself?
No. It is, in fact, against the Geneva Convention.
Oh. I did see where somebody repurposed a CVS receipt as toilet paper.
Oh, geez. Ouch. Oh. What a way to get it.
Because those things are at least as long as your
places.
Arm. Right?
That and Kmart, when they used to have it, I used to wait for – I'd go in and buy two things, and it'd take me 5 minutes for all the printouts to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I remember that. Those were the days. Well, folks, also in the days of 1977? We've got The Man from Ultra on CBS Radio Mystery Theater, an interesting story where a man has to live out his childhood fantasies. Let's listen to the exciting conclusion.
Hey,
shot through space and time into the fantasy world of his imagination by the witchcraft of Mr. Solon Aquila, Jeffrey Hale has not, as we expected, landed on Mars or Jupiter or any other destination in outer space, no. He's landed in the big game country of Central Africa.
I hate killing. So when my fiancé, Sir James Graham, insisted that I accompany him on a safari, I was unhappy. I was even unhappier when we reached the snows of Mount Kilimanjaro. I discovered that our white hunter, Jeffrey Hale, was steel and ice, a hard man. I also discovered that my fiancé was a coward.
What's that? What's that?
Just a leopard prowling our camp. Nothing to worry about, Sir James.
A leopard?
Yes, Miss Field. Trying to pick up a bearer.
Oh, but good Lord. Will it?
Probably. That's why I always hire more bearers than I need.
Mr. Hale, how can you be so heartless?
Law of Africa, Miss Field. Eat and be eaten. Oh, well, if it bothers you. Stemba! Stemba, you rascal! Here.
Stemba, come. Great white one. Stemba, come, sir.
Let me have the Mannlicher 4799 and hold the tent flaps open.
At once, great white banner.
What are you going to do, Hale? I mean, it might come in and attack us.
The chance we have to take. I'm going to shoot it.
You mean sitting here like this?
Miss Field, I'm damned if I'm going to leave a comfortable chair and a good stiff drink to go prowling after a leopard. Let him come to me.
Here is Mannlicher 4799, banner.
Thank you, Stemba. Hold the flaps wide. Stand clear. I nicked you the last time, remember?
Oh, grazie, mighty buona. Merci.
Ah, yes. There he is. Here he comes. Steady now.
He's coming in after us. He's attacking. I can't stand it.
That does it. Now, what were we saying before we were so rudely interrupted?
Hale, you're unbelievable. Absolutely. Pure raw courage.
Unbelievable.
All in the day's work. Stemba, have the beast skinned for Sir James' collection.
To hear is to obey, Buena.
You shot every skin in my collection, Hale, and I funked it again today.
Nonsense. A lion can spook anyone.
And yesterday.
Think nothing of it, Sir James. The rhino charge can frighten anyone.
But not you, Mr. Hale.
I've been around the snows of Kilimanjaro long enough to be salted, Miss Field.
And the day before that.
James, dear, don't you think you've had enough to drink?
Well, I've got to. It's the only way I can bolster my nerve. That buffalo spooked me. And the cheetah and the boa constrictor and the aardvark and the...
No. You make too much of these little accidents.
Accidents? James wouldn't be alive if you hadn't shot those beasts, Mr. Hale.
That's what I'm paid for, Miss Field. Well, if we're for elephant tomorrow, we'd best turn in early. Good night, all.
Mr. Hale, are you awake?
Always, Miss Field. Law of Africa. Never sleep.
There's a tarantula in my tent.
Right. I'll take care of it. Got my Webley 44 under my pillow for emergencies.
No, please, no. The shot would wake the whole camp. Please, Mr. Hale, may I come in for a moment? I'm frightened.
By all means. Spiders can do that to anyone.
Doesn't anything ever frighten you?
Beautiful women like you.
What else?
Nothing much.
James is a coward.
Give him time, Miss Field.
He's had enough time. I can't bear the thought of marrying a coward and a drunk.
No? And what do you propose to do about it?
Nothing. You'll do it.
Me?
You're after Elephant tomorrow. When an elephant charges James, do nothing.
What?
Pretend your gun jammed. Do nothing to save James.
For heaven's sake, you're asking me.
Don't you understand what's between us? It's the only way. Let James Graham die.
All right, Graham, we make our stand here. The beaters are driving the elephants toward us.
Are they dangerous, Hale?
No more than lion. Stemba, the Mannlicher 5950 for me. The Cosme Express for Sir James.
I hear and obey, great white Bwana, out of sight.
You know, I've spent years trying to wean Stemba from his native Swahili. He still can't speak English.
Good heavens, man, how can you be so casual? They're coming, don't you hear them?
Right.
They're stampeding toward us.
Right.
I'm shaking. I can't hold my gun. I'll funk it again. I know it. Stand by me, Hale. Don't let me down.
Yes. What happened, Stemba? The elephants got the wrong men. I think now I go and pick Jeffrey Hale up. What's left of him.
Bravo, Mr. Hale. Fantasy all finished. But you fell off your stool with a crack and broke the magic pinnacle before I could catch you.
I feel like I put my head under an elephant.
Oh, you did. You did in your dream. Now we discuss what I've done, eh? Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, I feel like I've been through a ringer.
You were. Your own. Listen. Man lives by his decisions. A man has some 11,009,998 to make in his lifetime, eh?
If you say so.
It is the maturity of these decisions that decides whether he is a man or a child. But a man cannot make mature decisions until he has purged himself of the fantasies of childhood. They must go, agreed?
I suppose I ought to feel grateful. But I feel empty, cheated.
Ah, that will pass. But I told you there was a price to pay for growing up. Look in this mirror.
Lord, is that me?
Gently, gently.
The lines in my face, the gray in my hair.
It's not so bad. It's good. You're still a youth in physique. You've lost none of your life. Only the pretty, unformed face of childhood.
No.
All right. Gently, my child. Here you are, purged, unhappy, bewildered, both feet on the hard road of maturity. Would you like that this never had happened? I can do. Spurlos Verensk. It isn't 10 seconds from your escape. You can have your pretty young face back. You can be captured. You can return to the asylum, a child again.
You can't.
Oh, but I can. I can. There is no limit to the power of the 15,000 angstrom band.
What are you, Satan? Lucifer? The devil?
I'll tell you who I am, Jeffrey. I'm a scoundrel, a black sheep, a remittance man from the planet Ultra in the Tucana cluster. There's no place in the cluster that can tolerate me. They pay me to stay away on this primitive, lovely beach you call the Earth. Here, I entertain myself as best I can.
I don't believe it.
No, but it's true. And that is why the unguarded despair in my eyes struck terror into your innocent soul and ruined you. Now, I heal you.
Like this?
Yes. Now, I show you the one salvation you have here on your Earth, which we do not have on Ultra. You have been brought face to face with your fantasies. Now I arrange for you to come face to face with reality. Through this door, please.
Hi.
Hey.
Judy, you?
Me.
But really?
Really.
Where are we? What is all this?
It's the Bozar Ball. As near as I can remember, Mr. Solon helped me reconstruct it.
I don't understand.
He called me and we put this together for you. The pleasure of your company and a dancer.
You mean it's real? You're really real?
Oh, Jeff. Poor Jeff. Always looking for reality. Never knowing it when you find it.
I'm getting all mixed up again.
You're getting all straightened out for the first time.
What do you mean, Judy?
You're an artist, Jeff. You think through your eyes.
I suppose.
So I'll tell it through your eyes. What do you see when you look in a mirror?
Or me.
The real Jeff Hale? The way other people see you?
Of course.
That's funny. When I look in a mirror, I don't see me the way other people see me.
No, why not?
Because I see myself backwards.
What? Oh, yeah. Of course. You're right. As a graphics man, I should have remembered we always see ourselves reflected in reverse.
Not always.
No.
Not when we see ourselves reflected by other people. The people who love us.
Oh?
I see myself as I really am in you, my love. Can you see yourself as you really are in me?
I want to, but
what?
But I don't trust us.
No? Why?
Because we're so crazy in love.
You don't trust love?
No. Yes,
it's the faraway fiend.
Yes. What is it?
With black eyes like pools of hell.
Yes, my child. Your lady and I, we reenacted that moment for you. And now you know what you saw reflected in my eyes, what plunged you into despair.
No.
You saw your own fear.
No.
That you might be as empty as I am empty.
No, no.
Empty of what? Say it.
I don't know.
You know. Say it.
Please, Jeff.
Of love.
But you are not. Look here at this lovely lady who adores you and fights to save you. Could she love a man who cannot love? Never. Do you understand what you have here and what we do not have in Tucana Cluster? It is love. It's what I'm trying to learn. It's what may save me as it may save you. It's getting late, my Jeffrey. Time to make up your mind. All I have to do is throw a witchcraft switch, and you can be back where you started. Which will it be? The reality of life or the dream of life? Decide.
Oh, this is the big one.
That rests with your lady.
They're all big, Jeff.
I'm being forced to commit myself.
Yes.
But not to me, Jeff. Only to yourself.
You have what we do not have. This dear young lady could save Ultra in the Tucana Cluster with her love. She could save me. And I warn you, if you decide to withdraw into your easy way of escape, I will try to persuade her into saving me. Make no mistake, I can do it. So, escape is easy. Life is hard. Make up your mind.
Then I'll take it the hard way.
I wonder what Jeffrey Hale meant by taking it the hard way. There are many who say that life on Earth is human survival, and we must pay a tough, realistic price. Many others say the flower children are right. Look at what human survival has cost us. And is it worth it? I would like to believe that Jeffrey Hale's decision came somewhere between the two extremes, but I don't know. I shall be back shortly. As I told you, I've run across Solon Aquila, the remittance man from Ultra, everywhere. He's charming, entertaining, brilliant. But he's never told me what will become of this lovely beach in the stars that we call Earth. I ask him whether he'll preserve it or destroy it. And he laughs and says, "Comme ci, comme ça, my Goldilocks and the Three Bears, coup d'etat. It's all your decision." Our cast included Court Benson, Robert Burr, Mandel Kramer, Roberta Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
No outlaws? Bandits? Gypsy band?
Not in this day and age. There were in other days and other times. Since the war...
El Caudillo ruled all Spain with an iron hand.
Who is to say no to the general? Nor is it a wise thing to try.
What happened?
There's a tree trunk across the road. Señorita Welch, are you all right?
Si, yes. But what are those flares ahead?
An accident, perhaps. Probably a washout.
I don't think so. You hear? Those are horses' hooves. How did that huge trunk get there?
I don't know, but we cannot pass. There are caballeros coming.
There must be police. Or local officials.
With guns in their hands, I'm afraid you have got your wish. These are bandidos.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Marshall is really, really cool. And that's what makes CBS Radio Mystery Theater so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Am I back? There I am.
Yeah,
I'm
now
back.
You are.
I'm just preparing for a lesson that we can learn here. And it was a very last second thing, as it just kind of smacked me in the face, and reality hurts sometimes. Okay, I'm ready for that whenever. But anyway, we're back.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
Apologies to Gar. If you have a choice between reality and your childhood, choose the best. There you go. That's kind of the way our story ended, so I figured that's the way I could have the moral go, you know?
There you go.
Because the answer was, there wasn't really an answer there. Darn it!
I'm still up in the air as to which would be better. Reality or...
They had some cool adventures, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'd take that.
Yes, yeah,
Brother
Gar,
Brother Gar is off finishing getting his last touches ready for his program tonight, so he's just about ready to rock and roll coming up here at in another, about 18 minutes thereabouts. So that's why he's kind of disappeared and not with us. But I'm really surprised he must have liked this story because he a lot of times will not join us on Saturday as he is preparing. So thanks, Star.
No, he has
here.
A lot of prep work for his TV show. He does so much, and to bring it to you live, he does have a great deal of preparation, you know, and it was cool that he stopped by, you know, was able to squeeze in some time to visit with us.
Yep. Always an interesting experience whenever Gar comes on board. So, no problem there.
Yes. Interesting understatement.
So, an interesting thing of somebody who kind of refused to grow up. It kind of turned him a little crazy and then got that chance and a choice whether to have a little gray hair or be the young and youthful guy that he was. I've had young hair since my sons were teenagers. I'd have to go back quite a bit farther than just
yeah.
I'd have to go back to Dragnet 68, I think. I'm not sure.
There you go. I don't know. Reality could be just a fantasy. We don't even know it.
Could be. Hey, we might as well invite somebody, anybody, to call in and spin the wheel of radio. We have a little bit of time. So
646-378-0264. You can call in and give the wheel a spin or just sit and chat and hang out with us. Whatever you like.
Yeah. Most people don't like that, but, you know, that's okay. If you're going to spin the wheel, you kind of have to do that, too.
Meanwhile,
Gotta take the bitter with the batter, yeah.
So many movies about aliens, certainly over the years, perhaps more than radio shows about that topic, but good science fiction fodder, especially, you know, 50s and before.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't know what to think. Think how science fiction has grown over the years. Just our perceptions of what extraterrestrial life might look like.
Well, you know, part of it was, I think, the time it was. Yeah, we really didn't get a lot of things about spacemen or anything until really the early to mid 50s, where television grew up with that kind of a thing. And you think of all the Twilight Zones and the Outer Limits and things like that, where they had other beings from other planets that were just in those shows alone.
Yeah. And then you had your early films like The Flying Saucer, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Earth versus the Flying Saucers, another early classic.
Yeah. Right.
Those were all 50s, and those became very prevalent, I think, after the little disturbance there in New Mexico, Roswell.
Yeah.
And other places. There were a lot of sightings, you know.
And it wasn't a weather balloon.
No, definitely not a weather balloon. We don't know what it was, but...
Well, you know, that's kind of funny. Remember when he explored it in the Watch? His ship, his space shuttle came down in the past and at Roswell, New Mexico in that year. And it was kind of funny the way John Drew wrote that. He just said we could have assumed that maybe that was the flying saucer that people were seeing.
Yes.
So I thought that was very clever of John Drew to write it that way.
Yes. And we naturally appreciate having it on our show. Real quick, while you're dialing, 646-378-0264, want to give another split weekend coming up, huh, Dave?
Yeah, we are. And let me bring it up here. Oh, we've got for Friday, that you can't beat City Hall. And a couple of stories there, actually a little bit more modern stories, as we have Theater 5 from 1965 or 66 and the Mutual Radio Theater from 1980. So those two stories from are on Fighting City Hall. And then on Saturday, once again, we have another special guest, a Cleveland radio play troupe, the Cryptic Radio Podcasts. They're going to be here and sharing at least, I've asked permission to share at least one of their stories that's a two-parter. And so we're going to be talking to them and how they started and how they came about and share some of their work here. So I'm excited about anybody who's out there doing radio drama. And it's so cool, just right here in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, and naturally too, we want to help anybody that's promoting either old time radio or doing shows with new material themselves.
Right.
And Dave's gotten good. Nuts, bringing us great guests.
So, and it always, I think it's always interesting to hear how these people became involved and interested in doing this kind of thing. Whether it just be actors or whether it just be they just loved it and just decided to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like Mike Arnett does, you know? Or Joe Bebb is a performer and needed something to perform, and so he started writing his own stuff there, that kind of a thing. So it's it's so great to hear radio drama. And it's doing it for the love of it because – there's stinking no money in it, and it'd be interesting to talk about with the Cryptic Podcast people, because they are somewhat sponsored in a way through GoFundMe and maybe some other ways as well. That's something we'll have to ask them about next Saturday night. So,
Yeah, and it's a shame. It's like horror hosting, like you said, Dave. There's no money in it. People do it. It's clearly a labor of love when you do something like a weekend radio podcast, week after week after week. And we do love it, or we wouldn't be doing it this long and this frequently.
Right. And, you know, there's some weeks, like when you get into Halloween, how you always love breaking off and doing a lot more there. And, you know, we sometimes throw in for certain holidays on special broadcast days and such. So, you know, we didn't have to do any of that. But it is something that we truly enjoy finding and sharing with everyone. And speaking of sharing, nobody's going to call. And since I had the honor of doing it last week, or last time, you have the honor of going up and spinning the wheel this time, Dale.
All right, let me reach up to the top of the wheel, way up to my tippy toes, and...
Oh. Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
No doubt you've heard the expression, New York's a great place to visit, but I wouldn't live there if they gave me the place. In the year 2000, on a Wednesday, a man named Sullivan opened a meat market in Paterson, New Jersey, just a few miles from New York City. He had meat, and word got around fast. By Thursday morning, the exodus had started. By Friday night, there wasn't a soul left in Manhattan. The city was empty. Trolley cars stood dead in their tracks. Vegetable dinners grew cold in the restaurants. And the people? Well, once outside of New York, they realized they'd never liked it there in the first place. And they just didn't come back. Some went further west, to Newark. Others became good humor men on the Lincoln Highway. New York became a dead and silent city like Carthage, Pompeii, Philadelphia. For 1,000 years, nothing is heard of New York. In January of the year 3000, a rumor reaches Professor Trigg at Buskirk University in Cleveland. Trigg, agog with the news, rushes to one of his colleagues.
Professor Morgenhoff! Professor Morgenhoff.
Yes, Trigg?
A report just came to my desk that a herd of animals has been sighted from the air over ancient Manhattan.
Animals?
Yes, Swinus vulgaris. Pigs, that is.
Oh, yes.
I thought they were extinct.
Extraordinary, Trigg. I will form an expedition immediately. Just between us, Trigg, these food pills we live on are awful. We start at once.
5 minutes later... A rocket ship sets the expedition down in ancient Manhattan.
We've landed. Here we are, gentlemen. New York City, just as it was when it was abandoned 1,000 years ago.
Look, Professor Morgenhoff, those two signs. One says Broadway, the other says 42. And look at those vehicles piled on top of one another.
Must have been an intersection in the old days, yes. McGreevy?
Yes, Professor?
McGreevy, why don't you take this road to the east and keep your eyes open? If you see anything, report to me on your wrist radio.
Right, sir.
Yes. Fine boy, that McGreevy. Love that boy, McGreevy.
This is odd, sir. Poles with red and green lights on them.
Poles with red and green lights? Oh, yes. Those were traffic signals in the old days. They were used in a game played with automobiles called Beat the Light. Oh, that's McGreevy signaling on his radio. Yes, McGreevy?
I found a bottle with a note in it.
What do you make of that? I'll read that again.
I don't mind if you do. Go right ahead.
What do you make of that, Morgenhoff?
Much better. Well, years ago, sailors in distress put notes in bottles and tossed them overboard. What does this note say, McGreevy?
It says, leave 2 quarts milk, 1 quart cream.
Excellent. Excellent report. Report on anything else you see. Fine boy, that McGreevy. Lovely boy.
See, this looks interesting. The sign over the door says, drugs and soda.
You'd rather have a scotch and soda, would you? What's in this little booth here with the glass door?
Well, I think that was called a telephone, Professor. Put that piece next to your ear.
This piece here? Put it next to my ear. All right, yes.
I'm still trying to get to a party.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Craig, what are you doing over there?
It's a little room hung on cables.
Room hung on cables? Oh, yes, that's an elevator, Craig. Back in 1946, you could ride in an elevator for nothing. By 1947, they didn't go up and down anymore, and you had to pay $8 a night to sleep in them. That's McGreevy again. That's McGreevy. Yes, McGreevy?
Every place I go, I find an inscription. It's all over the wall.
What's it say?
It says, Kilroy was here.
Fine lad, that McGreevy. Very fond of that McGreevy, yes.
Professor, look at that huge sign over there.
Huge sign. Oh, yes, it says, terrific, colossal, gigantic, stupendous. Must have had tremendous beasts in those days.
Yeah, and underneath it says, Margaret O'Brien starts tomorrow.
Professor Morgenhoff.
Shall we throw that joke to the lions? Oh, McGreevy, you're back, eh? Yes. Did you find the pig?
No, sir, but I did find this old newspaper.
An old newspaper. Mm. Oh, yes. Look at this headline. It says, Dodgers win series. What's the date on that?
1985.
Right underneath there, it says, autos promised for next spring.
Well, Professor, what shall I say in our report to the university?
Oh, just say, New York is a wonderful place to visit, but I wouldn't live there if they gave me the place.
Henry Morgan with
the great Henry Morgan, the radio's bad boy. Dale, you're doing something tomorrow, which if I hadn't already given myself something, I'd probably be joining you. But it's across the country. Why don't you tell people what you're doing and how they can find out how they could join in, even though they don't have to come to Strongsville to do that.
Yeah, well, if you want to meet with me and some other folks at the Southgate Cinemark King Kong. No, not Peter Jackson. Yes. The original 1933 classic with Robert Armstrong and, of course, the great animation of Willis J. O'Brien with King Kong and dinosaurs and thrilling action. That's tomorrow at 1 Eastern. Come and join me if you can. Last check, they are still open with even current events.
But this is a nationwide thing that what Turner is putting out, right? So how could they find it if there is one in their area?
I forgot the name of the website now, but there's a way you can search it out. I forget.
All right, well, we'll put that. Dale will find that and put it on the Erie House Facebook page. But check that out, just in case. So,
They have a thing to search by your zip code, and they'll find every theater within 50 miles that's doing the King Kong thing.
Yep, and I'll be in Akron, Ohio, at the Spaghetti Warehouse. So Mark Seven, who was our guest last night, they're performing their radio drive, their radio plays in front of a live audience. As far as I know, that's still going, and we're going to film it for him, so... We'll be able to share that later on here at Erie House. So,
mm-hmm. It will be fun. We guarantee. I want to thank everybody who stopped in tonight. Linda Lou, Fogsbane, Vorpal Blight stopped by.
And Gar.
And, of course, yes, our very own Gar the Ghoul found a little time while getting made up and making his preparations for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul coming up in just... I don't know, about 40 seconds from now. We'll be back again next week with You Can't Fight City Hall. That'll be Friday. And then, of course, Cryptic Radio joins us on Saturday. Yeah.
Very good.
Don't miss it if you can.
That's right. But you got the cues, not me. I don't know.
Goodbye.
The castle lights are growing dim.
There's
no one left but me and him.
I fouled it up.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Oh. Damn it anyway.
Don't come alone.
The clock was way off.
Yeah. They really should give you a 15-second warning there, you know, or a 30-second. They don't give you a 15 or a 30. So,
No. You go 60, then you go 10.
Yeah.
And when the timer's off of real time or even a counter they give you, it's like, okay, thanks for nothing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Blog Talk. Thank you.
Well, they do give us this wonderful format to share things with. And, you know, the thing is, because it's so nice, they still have to find some ways to mess with us. And they do very often find ways to do that.
Yes. This is over and over again. But, yeah, it'll be fun meeting up with some folks for King Kong at the South. No, the South Gate, Strongsville Cinemark.
Strongsville. Yeah, there you go.
Strongsville.
Oh, my.
Making creepy time.
Yeah. Now, I've got to be running off here. I'm only going to plug in the car, but I got a lot of writing to do, and I got to get ready for my shoot tomorrow, and so many fun things. So, if you don't mind, Dale, I'm going to have to call in Jimmy a little early tonight.
All right, folks, we'll see you Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Ta-ta.
Very good. Good night.
It's time to say good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same. And ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Good night, aliens.
Ooh.